Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And you can also check us out on Twitter. Follow us at Nick D Show. The best way to stay connected to us, though, is on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. I would like to welcome to the show the author of a book called Safe Inside, a memoir. It is a terrific book about growing up on the South Side of Chicago in the 40s and early 50s. When a time when divorce and mental illness, one's sexuality, that kind of thing was not discussed. And it was about, it's a memoir about growing up at that time and finding refuge in beautiful movie theaters and falling in love with the movies. This all has been shared by, our guest, who is Lee Kingsmill, who is the author of the book. And he happens to be, Steve King's brother as well. So Lee has written this great book called Safe Inside, a memoir. And let's welcome Lee to the show. Lee, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening, Nick.
Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, I feel like I'm in safe hands because I think you are as big a movie maniac as I am.
Yeah. It's true. It's absolutely true. First, let's talk about where the origin of this book came from. When did you decide that you needed to write it?
Well, it was about the time I retired from teaching. I was a teacher in the Chicago system for 34 years, and that kept me kind of busy. All I wanted to do originally was just write a short story to convey the experience that had passed of wallowing in the opulence of neighborhood movie palaces. Mm-hmm. But by the time I wrote the first story, I thought, well, there really is more to say, and it became a family memoir.
And let's talk a little bit about your teaching experience before we jump into the book. For almost 40 years at the Chicago Public Schools, what was that experience like? And what was that's a lot of time. That's a long time to be a part of that. And what tell me about what that experience was like and how the changes affected you? Because obviously, the education system, Chicago Public Schools, everything changed in a long period of time. And how did you deal with that?
Well, I never burned out. I did finally change conditions at the school I was at. It changed considerably, and it did right to the end. I enjoyed it. I miss my audience sometimes. It's very nice to walk into a room where everyone there is at least supposed to listen to you.
Right.
But it was a very fulfilling experience. One of the courses I was giving was I created a humanities course, which let me take the kids all over the city. I took them to museums, parks, I took them to the opera, and they never once embarrassed me.
That's great. Now, what ages are we talking about? What grades are we talking about, Lee?
I taught high school. Mm-hmm. And my favorites were the freshmen. I'd like to get them as soon as they came in, and the seniors. It was a long time of good stuff.
And so you retired, and then you realized that you wanted to write a little bit about your life, and then what started out as a short story. Now, after you had written like the first story, did you let your friends and family read it and did they give you the suggestions that you should probably write more? This is really good, and there's a lot more to write.
Well, they were encouraging, and the woman who became my editor on the book, Karen Jackson Grote, she said she loved The Blue Leopard. And so I wound up writing a couple more Blue Leopard stories. People were encouraging. I had a small circle of people that I would let read it as I was writing it, maybe half a dozen. Mm-hmm. They kept asking for more, so it got bigger and bigger.
There you go. Well, you mentioned
longer and longer. Anyway,
you mentioned Blue Leopard. Give us a little bit. I know what it is because I've read the book. But tell everybody what the Blue Leopard is.
Okay, the central character, Shorty at first, and then he becomes Ed. He's trying to escape some dysfunction with the family, And when things close in on him, he escapes into these fantasies. He invents a superhero with powers that he doesn't have. The Blue Leopard is everything that he isn't. He's strong and confident. Actually, I'm sitting here wearing my Blue Leopard T-shirt, which Steve and Johnny gave me for Christmas. They had one made. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned the character in the book, Shorty, who becomes Ed. This is interesting to me because, you know, this is it's called Safe Inside, a memoir, but you chose not to write it in the first person. You chose to write it in the third person as though, you know, you were outside telling the story of this other person. Was that a conscious choice from the beginning?
Yes, I was more comfortable doing that, although I wanted to get inside the kid's head. Like, I kind of went back and forth. I wanted it to be believable. The kid is kind of a smarty pants, and I wanted it to be credible that he's actually thinking these things at that early an age, which I was.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the interesting challenge of this was getting inside the heads of people that I'm not. Some of the family members and some of the people I met along the way. There's nothing like it. It is just so gratifying trying to figure out why would they have done this and done this that way. There's an uncle in the book that... Oh, I had so many problems with him. We really didn't get along, but I wanted to do him justice and try to be credible. That was part of the real fun of writing the book.
Mm. And did that give you writing in the third person, you know, getting into these characters, did that give you more freedom, and did it make it easier to tell your story?
Oh, it did. Oh, it certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes I'm not even there, and I'm trying to do my best to do justice to these people that were close to me. But it did give me a lot of freedom. Yes.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you, Lee, it's a really lovely book, and I was really entranced by it, and I thought it was just really terrifically written. And as I out of the gate, I asked you about the first person, third person thing because I found it a really interesting way to tell a story, to tell someone's story, a memoir in a storytelling kind of way, and I thought it was a really unique and great approach.
Well, it's what worked for me. I hope it reads like a novel.
It does.
I'm happy to hear you say that. Maybe 97% of it happened the way that I say it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about it then. I want to. It's the story of someone who grew up in the South Side of Chicago in the 40s, and a bit of a troubled family situation. Was it difficult for you to write down some of the truths that took place within your family, your mother's problems, and things like that? Was it difficult to put that stuff down on paper?
Yes. Oh, yes, it was. It's not a book I could have written while my parents were still alive.
Mm.
Although I hope, if they're out there somewhere in the ether, that they feel I've rendered them lovingly. But yes, that was the most difficult part.
Mm. And it really is. You really picture everything that's happening, and you can feel it. You can feel it because everybody is, you know, everybody's family situation, as you know, Lee, is completely different. Not everybody has the same family situation, but the stuff that's in this book is universal. Everybody has felt something similar to this, or had issues that were family related, or issues that where they didn't want to be exposed, or weren't sure how to express themselves and wanted to hide. Everybody has felt that, and that comes across beautifully in the book.
Good. Great. Yeah, some of particularly the chapters about my mother and the eventual commitment, they were very difficult to write.
Well, Lee, hang on, okay? We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Okay, Lee Kingsmill is with us. He is the author of Safe Inside, a memoir. It is a really beautifully written book. And when we come back, I really want to talk about the movie palaces that he describes in this book and as a safe haven for him as a child growing up at a time when it wasn't popular to feel the way he felt, have the sexuality that he was coming into. And, you know, as a Catholic Southsider, having family issues and things like that, he found, you know, refuge and comfort in movie palaces and movies themselves. And there's some beautifully written segments in this book about that kind of experience. We'll get into that. And he's got a blog that he writes as well. And we'll tell you all about that. And we're going to put a link on our Facebook page. And I think Lee and I will also talk a little bit about movies. So we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN and return after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. My guest is the author of a terrific book called Safe Inside, a memoir. Lee Kingsmill joins us, and it's a tremendous book, and I want to get back to the conversation. Lee, welcome back to the show.
Still here.
All right. Let me say how much I love the book, but particularly my favorite section of the book is the first lengthy description that you give about going to the Avalon Theater, about seeing the double feature, about, you know, because back in those days, when you go see a B picture, a double feature, they would run and you wouldn't really check what time the movie started. You would just walk in at any time during the movie and then sit through the movie and then get back to the scene that you walked into and then leave. And that is kind of a unique experience that younger people don't even know that existed. But let me just say to you that the description, the first time you talk about you and your mom going and having this adventure and then going into the Avalon and describing the Avalon and the experience is absolutely beautiful. So I'm assuming that place, that Avalon place, and obviously it's on the cover of the book, that place meant a lot to you.
It did. It really did. It was our neighborhood theater, and it didn't matter what was playing. You just, the experience of being in that, it really was a palace.
Yeah.
It was so ornate and elaborate, and the picture on the cover was taken by my late husband. He died in September. Oh. The sculpture on the cover was a Christmas present from him. There was a sculptress. She's gone now, Alice Zaney Jacobson, and she would cast sculptures of old buildings in Chicago that she liked. She did the Chicago Theater. She did the Avalon. I have that downstairs in our family room, and John took the picture, and that had to be the cover as far as I was concerned.
Yeah. Well, it's the way that whole description, you know, talking about seeing Christmas in Connecticut and the other film and, you know, the newsreels and the Looney Tunes and all of that stuff, just describing about moving, you know, changing seats. And all of that stuff is so beautifully detailed and told. These memories must have been really, you know, vivid for you, because the description of the theater and how you were feeling and what was happening is just so detailed and wonderful. These must be memories that have stuck with you for many, many years, obviously.
Well, they did, but I have to acknowledge that I had some help with that when I decided I was going to set that story in the Avalon. At first I thought, well, I would just get down as much as I could remember, but John said, let's drive over there. Let's go. And I was kind of shy about this. He pushed me out of the car and he said, no, just bang on the door till somebody comes.
Right.
And this wonderful man, he was the manager at the time. This was back in the 90s, I believe. His name was Loyal Griffin. And when I told him what I was doing, he let us in, and he just let us roam around for, oh, we were there for 2 hours, and I was making notes and sketching, and he was teasing me. He said, oh, this is going to be the great American novel, huh? And I said, if it ever sees print, I'm going to acknowledge what you've done for me. And I wish I could. If any of your listeners know if he's still on the planet, I have not been able to track him down. I would love to send him a copy of the book. Mm-hmm. His name was Loyal Griffin.
Loyal Griffin, okay. And that brought back everything. And then that's one of the reasons why you were able to give such loving and incredible detail of the architecture within the theater and what it felt like, and just really beautiful. I could picture it in my head as I was reading it. I could vividly see what you were describing.
Well, even going down to the washrooms, and they actually did have a writing room with desks and Avalon stationery, and it was incredible.
I grew up, Lee, going to the movie palaces in the Loop, which get mentioned in the book as well. When I was going to those theaters, though, Lee, they weren't in the best possible shape. This was, you know, early 70s, late 60s, early 70s when I started going there. So they had seen better days at that time. And many of them were grindhouses, you know, showing, you know, kung fu, triple features and things like that. But that's where I grew up seeing movies. And even in the not so great state that those palaces were, it was still movie going experiences that I will never, ever forget. I mean, you go to the movies now and it's completely different. People don't understand the kind of experience it was, you know, to see these movies in these beautiful places.
Well, that's what I wanted to tell people. I mean, they were built just before the Depression and during the Depression, and they gave people such an escape from whatever difficulties were going on in their lives. And for a few hours, you could be in a really opulent setting.
Yeah, it's true. And on top of that, Lee, what else is missing that, you know, I mean, I'm not just talking about these theaters that are in the Loop, but you said neighborhood theaters. That was in your neighborhood. And there were so many of them in the city. I grew up on the north side, you grew up on the south side. The north side had beautiful, beautiful palaces that you could walk to. And that's just, you know, it's mind boggling to think that that's the way it was when you go to the movies now.
Oh, there were maybe 7 or 8 theaters I could walk to as a kid.
Yeah.
And they weren't little multiplex shoeboxes.
Right.
They were substantial buildings, you know.
Yeah. And I have to say, Lee, having grown up with that, reading about your adventures and going to these places and knowing what it meant to you, you know, having difficulty with what was happening in your life at the time and coming to terms with, you know, your sexuality and what was happening in your family life and this being an escape, I can totally understand that. And it's brought across really beautifully in the book.
Oh, sometimes I didn't want to come out. I didn't want to come back outside.
Yeah, yeah, I can tell. And that's, yes. But I also want to say, because I want to jump into your blog here for a second. I also want to say, Lee, it's a really brave book. I think it took a lot of bravery for you to write this book. And it's very revealing and really touching. And I think a lot of people who have had any kind of difficulty in their family lives or difficulty, you know, dealing with sexuality can identify with a lot of the things that are in this book in a very strong and beautiful way. So I just want to, I think it's a brave and a terrific book, Lee.
Well, I hope it's also funny.
Yeah, no, it is. I don't want to. Yes, it is. No, it's very entertaining and it's funny and all of that. But it really, there's a lot going on here that I think a lot of people will, that I think a lot of people will grasp. And I think a lot of people will be moved by this book. I really do.
Well, that's my hope.
Yeah, it works. Let's talk a little bit about your blog. You recently, you write blogs. Did you write about the Oscar nominations, did I hear?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. One that didn't happen that I really wish had happened was the young woman in Phantom Thread. I think her name is something like Vicky Krebs.
Vicky Krebs, yeah, she's terrific. Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And to hold not only hold her own, but to go toe to toe with Daniel Day Lewis throughout an entire movie.
I know.
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's some people can read your blog, and we'll have a link up on our Facebook page. So a link there, so people can check it out. There's also information about the book that we have as well. Now, Steve and Johnny told me that you have an incredible collection of movie posters and memorabilia that you like to switch out thematically. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Lee?
Well, right now the Christmas posters are still up.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I've got a lot of noir, and sometimes I'm in that mood. But I do have a number of frames of different sizes that that I can change out. And the family room, I wanted it to suggest an old movie theater, and that's where most of the posters are.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here in the study right now, looking at a bunch of others, and just some of my favorite things.
What are some of your favorites that you love looking at, that you love having?
Well, very first movie I ever saw back in 1941, The Bad Man, Wallace Beery and Ronald Reagan, of all people.
Yeah.
And, The Thief of Baghdad, and I'm looking at Ninotchka, Mutiny on the Bounty, and The Seahawk, Top Hat, things like that.
That is great. Lee, a real pleasure to talk to you, and the book is great. Safe Inside, a memoir, you can get it online anywhere, and we have a link on our Facebook page to your blog and all the information about the book. I really think it's a lovely piece of work, Lee, and congratulations on it.
Thanks so much.
Okay, take care. There you go. Lee Kingsmill, everybody. The author of Safe Inside, a memoir. A really, really lovely, a lovely piece of work. And I want to thank Steve and Johnny for telling me about the book. And it's Steve's brother. Lee is Steve's brother. And Steve said, we want to get you a copy of the book, and I want you to read it. And when I read it, I was like, let's get Lee on right now. So great stuff. Check out our Facebook page for more information. All right, we'll take a break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.